Good morning. It is a privilege to be with you here this morning, to see all your faces. They tell me that next week we'll actually see your faces. Interesting that 15, 16, 17 months ago, if I had said to you, restrictions, you would have gone, what do you mean? Today, I say in the midst of my sentence, restrictions, and you'll fill in the blank and you go, oh, he's talking about COVID restrictions. See, restrictions has come to mean COVID. It's kind of like synonymous. I say that word and you immediately think mask or something else. Words. So very, very interesting words. Game. Book. Coffee. When I say those words, your mind does not jump to the dictionary. It jumps to something else. See, when I say game, there's a number of you that are immediately thinking about when does the puck drop for the playoffs? If you're like me, there's a number of you that are thinking Euro championships. When does England play Germany? Some of you from South America are thinking Copa America. You're thinking of a thing. There's a picture that jumps to your mind. I say book. You might actually picture a book. You don't think of a definition. You might think of the Bible you brought with you. You might think of a book that you're reading at home, but your mind conjures a picture. When I say coffee, well, there's something else. Either, if you're like my daughter-in-law, you're like, ugh. If you're like the rest of the family, you're like, whoa. The smell, right? You can sense words. So bizarre. We're taught to write. We take a pen, we take a pencil, make a few marks on a page. We draw a triangle badly, and it's a capital A. We draw a circle that we don't quite finish, and it's a C. We throw a few of those things together, and we've got words, which mean things. But how about this? What if I say to you, winner, or loser, proud, disappointed? What picture do they bring up for you? Winner, you might think of like your team. You might think of a game that you played. If I say loser, what does that picture up in your mind? Maybe like back to junior high in the hallway and some loser. And we carry that with us. We remember that. It deeply affects us. There's an emotional response to that word, loser. How about proud? Hey, son. Hey, daughter. Proud of you for what you did today. Man, we remember that stuff forever. Just as equally, gosh, bit disappointed in the decision you made today. Man, that we carry that. There's an emotional response to words. So, how about this word? Guilty. How do you feel about that word? What does that bring up in you? Almost guarantee that your mind immediately popped to a thing. It popped to a thing that you did, that you said, that you thought, maybe months ago, maybe yesterday, maybe this morning. And you feel guilty. You feel guilty about having done wrong. But here's the thing. Guilt is not a feeling. It's a fact. You are or you are not. You broke the rule or you didn't. You broke the law or you did not. You set a goal that you failed to achieve, and you are guilty or you are not. It is not about feeling. It's about fact. Even if you go to the dictionary defines guilt as a condition, and then it says you feel guilty because you have done wrong. You feel guilty because we are. Interesting, over the last few weeks, we've been looking in Proverbs chapter 6. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. When we started this series, I was like, yes, the pastor is talking to somebody else. It's not me this week. I said in the first one, I said, I don't even know what haughty eyes are. Well, I didn't until we had that. I'm sure they don't have those because they don't know what they are. And a lying tongue. Well, in our household, our kids always got in more trouble for lying than for whatever the thing was they'd done in the first place. So we certainly don't do that. Shed innocent blood. I don't have to do any of that stuff. That was good. Until Pastor Alvin started to speak and explain to us a little bit about what that stuff meant. He went, oh man, haughty eyes, got them, bother. Lying tongue, oh man, that too? And every week, it's like guilty, guilty, guilty. Fortunately, at the end of every message, the pastor encouraged us to pray. Prayer of repentance. So we prayed the prayer of repentance, and I should have felt much better. So having prayed all those prayers, why is it that maybe we still feel guilty? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this: if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us and purify us. A lot of television shows, a lot of movies that are about police stuff and about lawyers and all that stuff. The classic scenario, right, is the person who has not done the crime gets arrested and accused of the crime. And it goes through the story of trying to prove that they couldn't have done it. The hero lawyer steps in and pulls a rabbit out of a hat. It's an amazing thing. And the judge looks over at the foreman and he says, do you have a verdict? And they say, yes, Your Honor, in the case of blah, 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 versus, we find the defendant not guilty. That would just really tick me right off. If I was innocent and all I got was not guilty, I'd be a little bit mad. Why is that? It's because of words. See, we attach stuff to them. Not guilty seems a little bit like they didn't have quite enough to put me down. But I'm like innocent. And all they said was not guilty. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 doesn't say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will declare you not guilty. No. It says that we'll be forgiven and purified from all unrighteousness. I think in our minds, there's this slight difference. Which brings us to Psalm chapter 103. Psalm 103. Starts with, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Goes on, who forgives all your sins, who redeems your life. And then we get to verse 9. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. Now, by profession, I'm a pilot. I fly airplanes. My family will all tell you on the ground I get lost. They wonder what happens in the air, but in the air I never get lost. Rarely get lost. East and west. And so we fly by direction. We say, I'm going to fly east or I'm going to fly west. Now, here in the west, Maybe you don't refer to yourselves as the West. I say yourself because I wasn't born here. My wife, Jennifer, she's from the East. Everybody says they're from the East. Even the Easterners say they're from the East. Funny thing is, East isn't a place. East is a relative position, right? Like, you're east of me, but you all are west of them. You can't get to the East. You cannot get to the West. They do not exist. The East and the West, they never meet. They are unreachable places. That is how far God has removed our sins from us, to a place that you cannot get to. You can go east as far as you want, and you will never get to the East. You can go west as far as you want, and you will never get to the West. Words. Possibly that's a bit too weird for you. So let's try this. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I will forgive their wickedness and forget their sins. Now hang on, that's not what it says. It doesn't say God will forget our sins. It says he will remember them no more. And you're like, so what? Words. Forget is an interesting one. We use it as an excuse, as a like, oops, sorry. Sorry, honey, I forgot the anniversary. It's like, didn't mean to. Accidental, unintentional. Oops, forgot to walk the dog, Dad. Yeah, that was an oops. Right? We use it as an excuse for an unintentional thing. But yet when we want somebody to do something, we sometimes say, don't forget. But if we really want them, they say, remember to do that thing that you're, why? Because remembering is a conscious activity. It's a thing that we choose to do. When we say forget, it's like, oops. But when we say remember, there's an intentionality about it. We intend to. It is our purpose to. And so when God says, I will remember your sins no more, you go, wait. You're talking about God. God is perfect. God can't forget. Yet, he didn't say he's going to forget. He says, I will remember them no more. And you say, that's not possible. I'm saying, yeah, but you're not God. See, God is God, and God can do whatever God chooses. It's the kind of thing about God. He can do whatever he wants. And if he says, I will remember them no more, then he means, I will remember them no more. And you're like, but I can't do that. And like, no, but you're not God. God says, I will remember them no more. I grew up pretty much pre-computer. My dad used to teach mechanical engineering at a university. The first computer they had like filled a classroom and it would like do 2 + 2. So I grew up learning to write with a fountain pen. If you know what a fountain pen is, then you're at least my age. Congratulations. If you have no idea what a fountain pen is, you can Google it later. But with a fountain pen, you're writing and you make an oopsie, it doesn't go away. You put a little line through it and move on. If you try and scribble it out, the teacher gives you no end of trouble because you made a mess, a line. The mistake is there. Doesn't go away, it's there. Fast forward a little bit. High school, whiteout. Awesome. You can make that mistake disappear. Oh, no, you can't disappear because the white is never the same white as the page. And you can see the white out. And if you turn the page over, you can see the word backwards. It's still there. It's not gone. Interesting computer. They still got that strikeout function. Used to be a real thing on typewriters, if you know what a typewriter is. Those of you who have no idea what I've been talking about for the last 2.5 minutes, you're thinking computer. When you hit delete on your phone, delete on your tablet, delete on your computer, guess what? It's not deleted. It's still there. If you're one of those whiz-bang computer people, you can make all that stuff come back again. Metadata stuff. It hangs out. You can't make it go away. It's there. Funny thing about God, though, when he says it's gone, it's gone. Gone. We talk in church about justified, right? And we try to explain what that means by doing a play on words, and we say, it is just as if I had never sinned. As I was preparing, I decided that I kind of don't like that anymore. I understand it, it's good. But when I'm forgiven, it's not as if I had never, I had never. And you're like, wait, that's not true, because I did. God doesn't remember it anymore. So you get to heaven, and you're a little bit concerned whether you're going to get in or not, because you're remembering all the stuff that you did. And you get there, and God opens the book, and he says, oh yeah, Richard, blank page. And you're like, but God, what about? You know that look? I think wives know that look. I don't know how else to describe it. Wives know that look. They say to your husband, why didn't you do? And he gives you that look that says, I literally have no idea what you're talking about. And your wives kind of don't believe it, because you don't, but it's possible, trust me, separate message. It's possible. I literally have no idea what you're talking about. Kids will do that too, and you think, I know I told you, but they too literally have no idea what you're talking about. That's how I envision this with God. When my sins are forgiven, they're removed as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. He literally remembers them no more. And I say, God, what about? And he has this confused look on his face, and he says, I have no idea what you're talking about, because he purifies us completely. I grew up in a kind of traditional church. That's the age that I am, the background that I am. And our service would be, you know, sort of three hymns and a message and another hymn. And I kind of love the hymns. I'm sorry. I'm glad you're not my dad. My dad loves the hymns too, all 21 verses of Charles Wesley hymns. We won't do that. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's love? It goes on in verse 3. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Then the music gets really going. I should sing it. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. My chains fell off. Acts chapter 12. Peter in prison. Verse 7. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him. Quick, get up! And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they're in prison. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The chains fell off. They're on the ground. If you're still carrying the chains, it's because you reached down and picked them up again, because they fell off. The next verse is even better. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. But wait. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold I approach. Not sneaking up, not going, gosh. Bold I approach. Why? Because I am innocent. There is no guilt. There is no condemnation, because my sins are as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers them no more. Bold, I approach. When I went to Bible college in the east, our unofficial anthem was, when peace like a river, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And you go on a few verses, and one you have to read very carefully in order that you don't get it wrong. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, that my sin, not in part, but the whole, the entirety, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. I bear it no more. One more time, in case it wasn't loud enough. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. At the close of each of those messages in our God Hates series, we had a prayer. If we prayed that prayer, God is faithful and just and has purified. Our guilt is our former state. Our former condition is not where I currently live, because I am forgiven and God remembers it no more. It is gone. I am guilt-free. It is my former condition, my former state. I am now no longer guilty. The very first message I ever preached, I was a Bible college student. I was in our home church. My dad was the pastor, and we had Sunday evening church, and the only folks who showed up to Sunday evening church were the dedicated diehard saints who were very forgiving of a young lad. Hebrews chapter 12. I love Hebrews chapter 12. It's one of my favorites. It's not my favorite verse, but one of my favorites. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Feeling guilty when God has declared you innocent is a hindrance, and you need to throw it off. Because guilt is not a feeling, it's a condition. If we have confessed our sins, then God remembers them no more. Please understand, when I say he remembers them no more, he remembers them no more. He literally has no recollection. You're the only one that's holding on to it, because he doesn't remember it. Doesn't remember it. And so when God the judge comes and says, what's the verdict? Innocent. There's no charge. There's no evidence, because he remembers it no more. As we approach communion this morning, you should think in the words of Jesus Christ. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for the eradication of guilt. That's a great word. Eradication. It's gone. There is no evidence. It's not covered by whiteout. It's not struck out. There's no metadata. There's nothing. It is gone, 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 because God remembers it no more. The imagery is great, right? My chains fell off. If you're dragging them around, it's because you picked them up, but I don't even know what you're carrying, because as far as God's concerned, they're not even there anymore. So what is it you're picking up? You're like carrying some imaginary thing around, because the sins are remembered no more. Consider this. If you have confessed your sins to God, then you can claim the promise and live guilt-free. It's your choice, because God remembers it no more. If you haven't yet met Jesus Christ, and most of what I've been talking about today is like, gosh, I don't really understand what you're talking about, that's okay too. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and God's forgiveness is there. And when we are forgiven, he remembers our sins no more, and we are free. Are you free this morning? Have you confessed your sins but still carrying around the guilt? God doesn't remember them, nor should you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thanks that we are able to join in this house this morning. We are able to gather through the wondrous miracle of internet and cameras and all that stuff. We thank you that we are able to be here. More than that, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for being God, and that you forgive, and that we can therefore be free of guilt and live in the freedom as a gift from you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.